Mary, go ahead, Mary. Say it out loud, nice and loud. Use your evangelical voice.
Committed to God, united in Christ, and serving with love.
Good. I'm going to have some items next week for you guys, and I'm going to ask questions about that. And if you can say it, I'm going to give you something, okay? You'll probably like what I have. So, honey, don't let me forget to do that, okay, wherever you're at. Thank you. You know, I'll probably come next week and I'll be like, oh man, I forgot to get those. And then I'm going to feel like a fool, like a sheep, you know. So, anyways, I'll do my best not to forget. Committed to God. So we're going to talk about that because we feel like that's the number one thing that we ought to do. Amen? We ought to be committed to God. There is some life here this morning. How many of you here are committed? Let's have a show of hands, just in general. Just committed. Raise your hands. Amen. Look around the room. Look at this. This is great, right? Good. How many of you like being friends with people who are committed? Raise your hands. Yeah? I'm trying to see somebody who's not raising their hand. I'm going to suggest some friends for you. How many of you have people in your life that you wish were more committed? Look at that. Look around the room. It's pretty good. How many of you think that you're a very committed person? Raise your hand. Notice that the room, 90% less in the room went up. 90% less. You know, there are some things that we are committed to here at this church and as Americans. The youth this morning. Amy, what did you hand out? Those little journals. They're like 3x5. Is there a youth in here somewhere? Right there. Bree has one. You writing stuff down, Bree? Right on. So the youth have committed to taking sermon notes. Isn't that cool? They're taking sermon notes. And in a few weeks, we're going to see how much they have and what they've written down. But, you know, a few weeks ago, we gave an appeal, and we had quite a few of you come forward, and you guys committed to being involved in some way, shape, or form this year in the ministries of this church. Amen? So, we do want to be committed, but what else are we committed to? Well, the average American works 45 hours a week. Committed. 45 hours, right? Did you know how much time the average teenager spends on media? This is from Forbes magazine. A day. 11 hours a day. Average American teen. Do you know what the average American adult spends on media time a day? 9 hours a day. 9 hours a day. So we're committed to some things, aren't we? We're also committed to keeping up with the Joneses. The average American has over $10,000 in credit card debt. Ouch. The average American spends 60 hours a week sleeping. Amen. But there are some things that we're not committed to, such as 50% of marriages in this country end in divorce. The average churchgoer spends 1 hour a week in a religious activity. 1 hour. Less than 30% of churchgoers give a half an hour a week of volunteer time in some way, shape, or form. Less than 30%. We spend 1.5 hours a week exercising on average. We give 2.64% of our income back to God. Is that correct? What's it supposed to be, Larry? 10%, right? That's off by how much, Larry? 7.5%, let's say, right? So our commitment isn't always there. It's interesting to see what we will and we won't commit to in our lives. But I believe, church family, God is always looking for people who want to commit to Him. All the time. God desires his people to give everything they have, to stay sharp, to be ready to face life's challenges, and to never forget the long-term goal. See if you agree with this statement. Right commitment brings right choices, which make right people who are blessed abundantly. You see that? Train of thought. Right commitment brings right choices, which make right people who are blessed abundantly. Commitment. So what is commitment, and why do we struggle so much with this long word? Commitment. Commitment. Say that 10 times. Well, commitment is the determination to faithfully perform our vows, our promises, and our responsibility. And you know what? It's essential in all relationships. Every single one. Commitment. Commitment is the foundation, the bedrock of any genuinely loving relationship. Think about that. Any relationship, this is involved. Commitment is involved. What about this one? When confronted with a challenge, the committed heart will search for a solution, and the uncommitted heart will search for a escape. Escape. Why do we struggle so much? Say the struggle is real. Come on. Struggle is real, isn't it? Isn't it real? You know, how many of you have ever committed to losing weight or going on a diet? Some of you don't want to raise your hands, and maybe that's a question my wife will say, you shouldn't have asked that question in church. But I have, and I did last September, and I had a goal to get to a certain amount, and you know what? I had gotten on the bike, and I was riding a lot, and I was eating healthy, and everything was going good for about 3 months. I mean, I was really committed for 3 months, and I got to my 100-mile race that I did, and I did it, and I hadn't reached my goal yet. I still had a little bit more to go. And I kept going, I kept going, I saw the end in sight, and then I was at the Trader Joe's one day, and I saw their cookie specular, whatever it's called, cookie butter, I don't know, ice cream, and I was done. I took that home, and I began eating that, and then the next day I went down to Eclair, and I saw Jeremy down there, and Jeremy had just made a bunch of Eclairs. My waistline couldn't help it, I had to take one. So I lost that commitment. I didn't reach my goal by Christmas. That was my goal, is by Christmas to have a certain weight level, a certain level of athleticism, and I didn't reach it because the struggle was real. That sugar called me. Staying up late called me. What about, how many of you have ever committed to reading a book or maybe the Bible? Raise your hands. Committed to that? I've done that. And I remember one time I was committed to read the entire Bible. Started in January, and I got about 2 weeks in. And then I lost my footing. You know, late at night, putting the kids to bed after a long day of school and work, and my wife works, and you know, I'm preparing dinner and doing stuff, and stress is high, can be at times. And then I think, well, I got to spend time with my wife, and honey, why don't we watch a TV show, or why don't we sit down together? And it's like the Bible gets put on the shelf. That commitment gets put on the shelf because other priorities creep in and take over, and I couldn't follow through. I didn't follow through. The struggle is real, isn't it? Maybe you want to work on relationship issues with your spouse or your child. And so you decide, you know what? I'm going to work this out, this conflict, and I'm going to have some resolution. And you begin to try to work it out. You pray and you begin. And all of a sudden, you ask him or her to do something for the 100th time. And that's it. You're done. You've given up. You've thrown in the towel and said, this will never work. You turn to anger and resentment and you do it yourself. Fail. The struggle is real, is it not? Is the struggle real? But so are the blessings. The struggle's real, but so are the blessings. And that's the good news, is that when those commitments are made, whether it be with diet, whether it be with relationships, when we follow through and we can get to the other side, the blessings, the goals are so valid and so real and so wonderful. You know, the reality this morning is that our commitment is usually only followed through when our belief and desire and goal is realized and we toss aside all other options until we attain that goal. You hear what I'm saying? Throw the ice cream out of the fridge. Get on your knees and pray for that relationship. You know, the Bible has some things to say about commitment in terms of our commitment to God. Turn with me to 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8, verse 61, and say commitment when you get there. First Kings 8, 61. It is written, "Your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commandments." Now these words don't come with any options, do they? Is there options in the text there? Can we pick and choose which ones we want to go with? No, we must be fully committed. There's no ifs, there's no ands, and there's no buts. Yet there's this question that begs to be asked: if we're committed, what or who are we committed to? You know, people are committed to so many different things these days. There are some things that are worth being committed to, such as your family and your career, but your commitment to Jesus should be the first priority. Two amens. I'll say that again in case there's some life here in Arroyo Grande Church. Our commitment should be number one to Jesus Christ. Oh, there we go. Feeling better. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. 4 through 13. We're going to read a little section of Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy 6. 4 through 13. This is Moses. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow any other gods, any of the gods, the people who surround you." Talk about commitment there. Moses gives a charge to Israel, and he says, "Hey, I want you, God wants you to be so committed to him that when you go to sleep, from the time you go to sleep, or wake up to the time you go to sleep, He is on your mind. He is on your lips. Your home is filled with an abundance about how good God is and how God can save and has saved and will save all the time. Is it possible to do that? Or is that just a far-fetched story where we say, well, you know, we'll put the plaque on the wall that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's good enough. Is it possible to do that? Absolutely. There are families and homes that do that, that present Jesus morning, noon, and night. There are people that long to do that, that are committed to do that. But we know in the Old Testament that this special group of people that God called his own failed over and over and over and over and over and over again and again and again. In fact, if you go to Joshua 24, turn with me there. Joshua 24, 24. Joshua is about to pass on, and he has some words as they go into the promised land here. And this is what he says. And I'm going to start in verse 22, just to give a little bit more context this morning. Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts," your what? "Hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "We will serve, we will commit to the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." So then Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute of an ordinance in Shechem. Now, as I read this week, and I looked at our vision as committed to God, I thought, well, that's really cool. Joshua goes out and he realizes that the people are wallowing in their sins, and they're struggling with things, and you know, the struggle was real for them just as much as it is for us today. And I looked at that and I said, that's awesome. Joshua goes out, the people say, yes, we want to do it. They raise their hands. They stand up and they say, "We are witnesses," and they even make it like an altar of remembrance to remember that covenant that they made. But you know, this covenant that they made, you know what covenant this was for them? What number? Moses had done two with the people of Israel, and this was the second one that Joshua did. The second one. So they're on their fourth round here. So as I read this week on Monday, I was reading this, I'm going, these people just fail. Fail, fail, fail. Yeah, I'm going to follow you, God. They fail. New covenant. Fail. They do it again and again and again. They wandered for some 40 years. Puts it into perspective for me as I, you know, have been working on my own journey for 15 years, approximately. The struggle's real. They learned each day through experiences, and many of them are, the important ones are recorded so that we can read and learn from them. This morning, as we get to the second half of this and close out, what I want to do is I want to give three biblical tips on commitment. This morning, three biblical tips on commitment that I think are very, very important for us as Christians to look at and think about as we go forward and look forward to Jesus' soon return. The first one, number one, is being faithful even in our small commitments is as important as training for bigger responsibilities. Is that important? Are you sure? Super, somebody said. Super important, right? Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." For some reason, we get this idea, maybe it's our society today, that we need to come in to the church and do these grandioso big things. Start a huge ministry and attend every Sabbath school and put our put I mean just big things we think about. We think big picture. But what about the small picture, the small commitments, the sitting down and really thanking God for the food that's in front of you? Waking up and before your feet hit the floor, thinking, "Praise the Lord, I'm breathing. Thank you, Jesus." Spending that quality time with God each day, that small commitment has huge blessings in the long run, long term. Does it not? Huge. Bible memorization, prayer, fasting, all these small commitments that we make set us up for the big ones. Number two, being a Christian is a total, full-time commitment. We talked about that earlier. Our focus ought to be Jesus first, family, career next. Luke 9:62 says this, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Say mercy. Oh, that, when I read that this week, I thought, oh boy. "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What's he talking about there? He's talking about if you were to go out and plow a field so that you could produce crops, you know, they used animals to go and plow. If they went out there and they were like, "Hey, how's it going," right? The lines would be not straight. They wouldn't get it done, right? They're not focused on the task, the job. You know, what does Jesus want for us? Well, he wants total dedication, not heartfelt commitment. We can't pick and choose among Jesus' ideas on what we want to follow and what we don't. We have to accept the cross along with the crown. We have to count the costs and be willing to abandon everything else that gives us security without looking back. With our focus on Jesus, we should allow nothing to distract us from following him. You know, it was July 16, 1994. I was 13 years old, and I was baptized. Made the decision to follow Jesus in the Watsonville Seventh-day Adventist Church. You know, I had some hard days beyond that, hard months beyond that. But I continued in my walk with him. I had some hard years. When I got to college, I, as you know my story, I walked away from God for a number of years. But you know, after I really went back and got to know God and realized he had a lot of love and a lot of grace for me, I realized the commitment that God had for me. And I recommitted to him. You know, I think a lot of times appeals are given and we think, yes, today I'm going to do this, right? You're in the mood. You make the decision. You do it. You commit to it. Maybe it's an appeal or a ministry or maybe you're giving something to 3ABN, I don't know. But then all of a sudden that mood changes a week, 2 weeks, a month later, and you don't want to do what you committed to do. It happens, right? To every single human being. It happened to Israel. It happens to us. It's a reality of life. But the third point I want to make this morning, which is my favorite one, is this. God has an unshakable commitment to you and me. Unshakable. We can falter, we can frail, we can fall. And as we talked about in our Sabbath school lesson, God recognizes that while we were still sinners, He died for us. We talked about this morning that when God looks at the cross, He didn't see Jesus, He saw me, He saw you. That was our death that He died. And He offers us life because of it. God has an unshakable commitment to us, church family. Unshakable. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" You know, this week I watched a movie called The Record Keeper. You heard about that controversy, about the great controversy? Let's give you a little background on it. The General Conference put about $1 million into this movie called The Record Keeper. And it was a movie that's based on some of the themes from the great controversy, but they used it, it's very different. It's almost like a Matrix movie. Anyways, I watched it this week, the first, I don't know, hour and a half that they'd finished of it. They've stopped making the movie. And I was blown away by the perspective of Satan and his angels and God and his angels and how they fought and what they fought about and just how great this war is. I mean, Satan is accusing God in front of the universe that He's unjust. And there was a part in the movie where I had a tear roll down my face. And it was one of the they call him the guardian, Lucifer, one of his angels came into the record keeper to give his account of what was going on. And he said, you know, these I forget what he called them, they weren't humans, but these people, these humans, he goes, they're mindless because they have sin. And we need to control them. And we have, you know, they're talking about the flood. We've got 99.9% of them. You only got 8 on the boat. He goes, but if you give one of them the Holy Spirit, God, they're unstoppable. Because they have the power of God in them and through them. And the whole force of Satan trembles because of God. That is what you and I have access to today. We have access to the God of the universe because He has unshakable commitment to us. Unshakable. No matter how much we've messed up, no matter how much we've fallen down and thrown in the towel, God says, "Here's my hand, I love you, let's go. With my power and Jesus, you can do it. You can do it." God is calling us, church family, to commitment today because He's got something big in store for each one of us. Your success in the future is directly related to your commitment today. Think about that. The same God that delivered Israel from Egypt, that saved Daniel from the lion's den, that kept 3 men from burning in a furnace, that same God that gave David the power to beat the giant, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same God that will honor your commitment and have you emerge victorious. You know, the key to commitment is recognizing and believing in Jesus and being consistent in your journey day by day by day. The key to commitment is to decide to take action and knowing and believing that when you fail, because we will fail this week, but the key is that we're going to get back up again. The key is that we're going to rise back up and say, "God, I'm sorry. Have my heart and mind today. Get back on the bike, right? Get back on the horse, whatever it is." Individually, day by day, we're to commit to God and learn and grow spiritually. And as a church, and we're talking about vision here, as a church, we want to commit to God together because we believe in the principle of the body, and we all have spiritual gifts to bring here to this church so that we can go out and serve one another and serve the community with the hands and feet of Jesus. As we talked about our vision, committed to God, united in Christ, and serving with love. That's the ideal. That's what we're shooting for, right? Tracking me? What I wanted to roll out to you just now as we close is the mission, how we're going to get there, right? So the vision is what we're shooting for, and the mission is how we're going to get there. And this is it right here. Our congregation is part of God's final movement on earth. Amen? We aren't perfect, and we're not, but we want to have a total commitment to Jesus and the mission He's given us. We want to invite everyone in the Five Cities area and beyond to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, embrace all Bible truth, and join a vibrant Adventist group. Come join us as we learn more about God's love and share the gospel through service. Amen. That's how we're going to get there. We're going to remember and reflect on that God has a mission for us as His people in 2017. The last thing I want to read to you before we close, we have a little illustration as we close, is a quote from the Elder's Manual, actually, that I was reading this week, and I pulled a quote from it, and this is what it says. God is deeply committed to the success of His church in spite of its imperfections. Amen. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. The church is an organism to which Christ Himself gives spiritual life. Therefore, it cannot be defined in merely human terms. Thus, it is very important to see the church as Christ-centered and people-oriented. A disciplined Christian life grows from experiencing God's saving grace. The church exists for the sake of people. Every doctrine must be presented not only on the basis of its truth, but also on the basis of how it helps people become Christ-like. Thus, truth and doctrine become significant and important as they help people grow in grace. You know, the church is not a museum of relics. Are you with me? It's more like a workshop where ongoing development is in progress. You see, in a museum, when you walk into a museum and you see the murals or the artwork, you see that the items are finished and they're on display. But in a workshop, some of the items are in beginning stages, some of them are half done, and some of them are nearing completion. Changes are taking place. Things are happening, as it should be expected in the church as well, to see church members in every stage of Christian development as they continue to commit to God and grow day by day.
Oliver, I want to show you some toys that are made in a toy workshop. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to start with this one. Do you know what this toy is? Is it a truck?
Yeah. It's Mater.
Yeah, it's Mater. And does this truck drive by itself, or do you have to push it?
Push it.
Right. So this toy, it doesn't run by itself, but it's still a really good toy, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then we have a different toy from the workshop. Which one's this one?
A train.
Yeah, does he have a name?
It's James.
It's James? Okay, that's not what I thought, but I learned something new from you today. Does this one run by itself? Can you show me? Okay, you guys can't see this, but it's running all by itself. Wow, okay, that one's got more power. And then you told me that you really like this. What's this?
It's a book.
Okay, what's the story about? Do you remember?
Numbers.
Okay, awesome. And it's one of your favorite, huh? What about this toy? what's wrong with this toy? Here, you hold, you play with this toy. Aw, you look sad. Well, what's wrong with this toy?
Does it work?
No.
No, this toy doesn't work. See, Oliver, there's something we have to learn. If this was a toy shop, then this toy is still in progress. But there is a toy maker committed to making a beautiful old-fashioned truck out of this piece of wood, and it will run too. But all these toys are different, and they have different stories. And Oliver, do you think we could wait and love this toy and just know that the toy maker is going to turn it into something beautiful? Okay, thank you so much for your help. We can go sit down now.
Let's all stand and pray together. Thank you, Oliver. Father God, we thank you that we can tell stories and understand things about heaven. God, I thank you so much that you are so committed to each one of us. God, we recognize that day in and day out, and we desire, as the Israelites did, to commit to you. Father, I want to commit to you once again today to recommit to you about knowing you and about sharing the gospel. Father, I realize that we're here as a church family. We've been called and we're committed, Father, we're here. Lord, help us to better understand the following through of our commitments. And thank you so much for being so committed to us. It's my prayer that each one of us this week can spend some time reflecting on commitments that we've made in our lives and to you. Father, bless each person here in a mighty way this week and bring us back again. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. Have a blessed Sabbath. You may be seated.